glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland. And today we have our Bible facilitator, Carolyn Eastfold, is joining us. And as always, Carolyn has some juicy nuggets for us. And today she's going to be helping us move through Exodus chapter 15. Thanks for joining us here, Carolyn, on Mark and Friends.
Thank you, Donna. It's always fun to talk to you.
I'm excited because I'm going to have to be teaching this to the kiddos coming up in a little bit. So I'm going to be gleaning some good backstory I can share with the kids.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about Jehovah Rapha. And the first place it is used, the Lord who heals, is in Exodus 15, 22 through 27. Would you read that for us?
Sure. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. This is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. Then the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to test. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of these diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water.
Yeah, so what's happening here? They had crossed the Red Sea. They're coming out of Egypt. They had been 3 days in the desert, in the wilderness, and they'd found no water. So finally they find this water at Marah, and it was bitter, so they couldn't drink it. Is that an accident? Was that something that surprised God, that the water was bitter? Or was Moses just being a poor leader, or what? How did they even end up in Marah in the first place? So to explain that, we need to go back to Exodus 13 and see the backstory to it. Exodus 13 says, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And so they actually backtracked, because he didn't want them to meet the Philistines and have to fight them. So they backtracked a little bit, went down by the sea. And interesting why God had them backtrack there. He said, the Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And said, once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. And this is the reason God did this. He said, I have planned this in order to display my glory through the Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. So it wasn't any accident. Mm-mm. God was leading them with the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire at night. It's exactly where he wanted them to be. And what else did he tell them at Marah? He said he'd put the diseases on the Egyptians, but that he was Israel's healer. And he would keep them from those same diseases if they would obey his statutes. So the law of Moses, God gave them the instructions how to wash their clothes and wash their bodies and practice isolation and quarantine and follow dietary laws, things that didn't come into medical practice until like the 1800s.
Right.
It's almost 200 years ago before they became common acceptance. And yet God told them that all the way back there to protect them from all those diseases. And then, of course, he also gave them the moral law, the Ten Commandments, which gave them similar protection from the spiritual disease that they might lead them to a physical illness. They lived in a pagan culture, a world, actually, that believed that illness and infirmities were caused by evil spirits. They thought healing would come through witchcraft or magic potions. But here's God is saying, I am your healer. Follow these instructions, and none of these diseases will come on you.
Which is so interesting, because you think of these crustaceans, you know, the lobster and the shrimp, they're all bottom feeders, and they were prohibited by God. He knew that these animals were not good for human consumption. I just think that's so incredible that, you know, God is always ahead of our time.
So we want to look at what this word actually means, because we think about Jehovah Rapha or Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals, we tend to think about physical healing. But there's a lot more to the word than that. The Hebrew word Rapha means to heal and cure, but it also means to restore or to make whole. The Lord who heals. The scriptures tell us that God is the source of all healing, and the New Testament reveals Jesus as the great physician, the healer of body and soul, and his miracles always pointed to the kingdom of God. So the Hebrew word Rapha has a larger meaning than just healing the body. It also means healing the mind and the soul, and we're going to look at a few examples how God healed water and nations, sin. The New Testament has the word Greek, in Greek of the I-A-O-M-A-I. It can refer to deliverance, not just from sickness, but also from death, from demons, from sin. So there's a bigger picture, bigger meaning. And then Jesus, we have to bring this out, that he clearly indicated that sickness was not necessarily caused by sin, even though the Hebrew scriptures often link sickness and sin. But Jesus was clear that sickness was not necessarily caused by the sin on the part of the person, but it's just a result of living in a sinful, fallen world.
I think of definitely that where he healed the blind man, they all ask him, so Jesus, you know, who was it that sinned, him or his parents? And he says, no, this happened so that God's glory could be revealed. So I think that certainly is indicative of what you're talking about here.
It certainly is. That's exactly right. He said that it was neither that man that sinned nor his parents that sinned, but it was so that the works of God could be displayed in him. So we would need to take that into consideration when we are suffering with an illness or infirmity. Maybe God is just wants to be glorified through this. And whatever I'm suffering, we need to think about how can I glorify God through this pain or illness. And, you know, Kay Arthur has a good definition for glorifying God. It's to glorify God is to give the world an accurate picture of who he is. Mm-hmm. Give the world an accurate picture of who he is, and that is glorifying God. Mm. And so when we're ill or have an accident or whatever, I mean, is God pacing the floor and thinking, oh, I didn't know this was going to happen? Is he, you know, is he fretting and worrying about it? He isn't. That's not our God. And so we want to be ourselves have peace in, and maybe even, could we say, contentment in knowing that God was in control, and we want to give the world an accurate picture of who he is. We want to have that faith and trust that shows to the people around us.
Mm-hmm.
So some other things we need to know about illness and healing. Oftentimes in the Bible, we did see that God used affliction to bring the Israelites back to him in repentance. So it is good for us to examine our hearts because there might be a sin involved, and it's good for us to look at God and say, you know, is there something in my life that you want changed? But again, that's not necessarily the cause, but it's good for us to check. But, you know, in James it said, is anyone sick among you? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who was sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much.
Mm. I like that it mentioned if he has sinned. You know, sickness is one thing, and then it can be a consequence for our own, you know, but I love that little word, if.
Job's friends were certainly trying to blame him for his own calamities. They said, surely you must have sinned for some reason for God to be punishing you. And that wasn't the case at all.
Mm-mm.
But then afflictions can be caused by another person's sin, right?
True.
The sins of another person can affect us as well. Sometimes people say, well, I'm only hurting myself. And that's not true. You're hurting all these people around you, all the people that love you, maybe just people who are watching you, or generations to come, that sin in your life can affect many, many people. So it might be another person's sin that is affecting us. So that's another call to prayer. So we can pray. Another thing we need to remember about physical healing is that it's temporary. Mm. Right? God gives us doctors and medical treatments so that we can that's a blessing too. That's a gift from God. And this is certainly not to say that we shouldn't seek medical or professional help, but we need to ultimately recognize that the Lord is the one who heals, and so we should turn to Him, to run to Him.
Yes.
So this temporary physical healing, which is a blessing, if we get that on earth, and all of us have. I mean, we've all been healed of whatever. You know, we've been healed of infections and surgeries and things, or we wouldn't still be here. So God has healed us many times. But ultimately, our healing will come when we are in heaven, and we will totally healed in all ways. And that's true of those loved ones we pray for. Sometimes we get discouraged because we think God's not paying attention when we pray and pray for someone to be healed, and then He takes them home instead.
Yeah.
We don't understand, but we know that even if they had physical healing, it would only be temporary.
Yeah.
And this eternal healing is what God saw was best for them. Let's look at some of the ways that Jehovah Rapha has healed in the Bible.
Okay.
And of course, there's physical illness. In 2 Kings, remember Hezekiah?
Yes.
He became terminally ill. And Isaiah, the prophet, actually told him, set your house in order for you're going to die. But then just three verses later, God sends him back to Hezekiah, and He says this, return to Hezekiah and say, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. Mm. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. And so then Hezekiah was physically healed. I think he lived for another 15 years after that.
Mm.
So we know Jehovah Rapha heals physical illnesses, but He also heals national illnesses. And we've heard a lot about 2 Chronicles 7:14 during the National Day of Prayer. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So we know that God will heal a nation if they turn back to Him. And that is our prayer.
Amen.
Then in Isaiah 2, it even says, the Lord will strike Egypt, striking but healing. So they will return to the Lord, and He will respond to them and will heal them. So God even promised that for Egypt in Isaiah 19. Then Isaiah 53 brings us to a very familiar passage, how God heals us from sin. And it says, but He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon Him, and by His scourging we are healed. So, and this was in the Old Testament. It was prophesying about the Messiah, about the Lord Jesus, how He died on the cross to pay for our sins. By His scourging we are healed from sin. So we have physical illness, national illness, sin. But He also heals emotional brokenness. Psalm 147 says He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
Hmm.
That's so reassuring
that
to know
so
that
sweet.
He cares, and He will heal the brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. In Matthew 8, it talks about they brought to Him, Jesus, many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out their spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He Himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. So we see here that Jehovah Rapha heals demon possession.
Wow.
And then we come to spiritual brokenness. 1 Peter. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. So we have Jehovah Rapha healing physical illness, national illness, sin, emotional brokenness, demon possession, and spiritual brokenness.
Wow.
All of these ways Jehovah Rapha heals us.
You know, as you're talking, Carolyn, it just challenges me to see what area of my life do I need Jehovah Rapha? You know, we all are in process of being healed on so many levels. And I think sometimes the things we're going through that are just so unpleasant and painful, you know, if we just cry out to Jehovah Rapha for the healing that we need, He is more than willing. I think sometimes it doesn't come emotionally, mentally, physically, because, you know, I still think we're trying to maybe fix it, you know, and look for a solution outside of Him.
That's so true. You know, there's only one physician that can cure all the ills of our soul.
Yeah.
So why do we look anywhere else? I mean, we look to all kinds of things, not just addictions, but could be Hallmark movies or shopping or whatever it is we look for to make our social media, make ourselves feel better and to cure our ills of our soul. But there's only one physician that can do that. So why not trust in the name of Jehovah Rapha and run to him and rely on him? Because he's waiting for us to do that.
He is.
There was a prayer that Ann Spangler had in her book. Jehovah Rapha, I bow before you, acknowledging that you are not only my creator, but the Lord who heals me. Please heal me today, body and soul, and do the same for my loved ones. I pray that you will heal whatever is bitter in our lives, transforming us in ways that glorify you. Amen. Mm-hmm. I say amen to that. That's a wonderful prayer.
That is.
Isaiah 50 says, who among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs to it. It's safe. So that's what we have to remember. The Lord is a strong tower. And that's why we want to know these names of God, so that we can run to him, Jehovah Rapha, when we need healing in any way. Psalm 103 just sums this up so beautifully. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle.
Now that is such a promise, especially to, I know, my age group, that he is going to satisfy my longings with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. I think people in, you know, my age bracket, we need a little bit of renewing of energy, and he is our renewal.
That is so true, and we do. We get discouraged, or we begin to feel like we're over the hill or no longer useful or just tired.
Yeah.
And he does renew our spirit, and Psalm 23, too, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Renews our spirit. So we're going to be thankful for that and praise our God that he is Jehovah Rapha.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new. Song again, whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. The end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then
Carolyn Eastvold on today's Mark and Friends, a ministry of Great News Media.